Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And that's found in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible on page 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. And I'd like to share this with you. Terry, this is an interpretation of this scripture. She shared it with us in our class this morning. The wise men came with the treasures of earth in their hands and left with the treasure of heaven in their hearts.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, goodness. They came to pay homage to him. They came to honor him. Well, who did they come to pay homage to? You know, when they started on that journey, they didn't know where they were going to end up. They go to Jerusalem and they show up at the place where the ruler is. Right? A king is born, a new king is born. Goodness gracious, should be in the house, or a palace anyway, at least, of an earthly king. Anybody who knows anything about history knows that Herod was not a very good person when he felt threatened. History tells us that not only did he kill family members who he saw as a threat, close relatives that he saw threat his kingdom, anybody who he saw as a threat to his kingdom didn't remain a threat very long. He took care of them. So when these wise men show up in Jerusalem and they're brought before Herod, and he had to have reacted interestingly, as the Magi saw, but anybody who knew Herod knew where he was going with his thoughts, because he presents a visage or an idea. It says he's frightened at first. I don't think he's quaking in his boots. I think he's more starting to worry about his rule, or feel threatened anyway, at least. Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? Oh, wait a minute. This is a pretty nasty way. This is verse 2 that says, where is this child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage or honor. That had to have hit Herod just a little bit on the touchy side. Because you know what? Herod wasn't a Jew. Hadn't been born a Jew. The only reason King Herod is King Herod is not because he's a descendant of David or Solomon or any child of Israel. It's because he was the guy who could squeeze those Roman coins or those shekels together and get what Rome wanted out of it. He was the person that Rome saw as most beneficial to be in power in place where he was. He didn't have a great relationship with the leaders of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders of the day. But he stayed in power because he was wily and he was vicious. And he was ruthless. That's King Herod. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened. I can't see a ruthless person being frightened like you or I might be frightened. And all Jerusalem with him. Well, you know, when the king starts worrying about his throne, and you know what happens when he feels threatened, he starts killing people or torturing people. No doubt in my mind, all of Jerusalem became a little distraught over that. He calls together all the chief priests and scribes of the people and inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, think how this made a leap. The wise men came and said, where is this child who was born king of the Jews? And Herod inquires of them, where is the Messiah to be born? See, the wise men came looking for a king. They came looking for a king like Herod. They came looking for a king like King David or King Solomon, an earthly king. And what does Jesus tell us? Scriptures say, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So they're looking in the wrong place. Well, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd, who is to shepherd my people Israel. You know, the perfect image of a good ruler is one who cares for and lays down his life for. And is really the shepherd. And the scriptures here are Micah 5:2 and 2 Samuel 5:2. This is what it's fulfilling. Now, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There's a difference between a Gene Dixon prediction and a tarot card reading prediction, or a prophecy that's foretold because the stars align in a certain way, and a prophet. A prophet is not someone who predicts the future. It's someone, man or woman, whom God has put his very word in their mouths to speak. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezra, Micah. These prophets are not making predictions, they're speaking the word of God. And we know the word of God is true. So they're not predicting. They're speaking the word of God, and this is what the word of God says. From you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Not rule over and beat them and strip them of all their wealth and their own personal pride, but no, to shepherd them. And what does a shepherd do? He doesn't beat and cajole and whip the sheep. No, he keeps them from going astray. He watches and he cares for them and he defends them with his very life. This is this image that was presented in the prophecies, not this image that these men of the East and Herod have in their mind for a ruler, for a Messiah. Jesus comes not to rule over them, but he comes to fulfill the words of prophets, which is the word of God, and that there will be one who is to shepherd my people, Israel. Not to rule over in a godly, kingly way, but to shepherd and protect them. Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Well, why is that? Remember, I said he's pretty ruthless. I didn't say he was stupid. I said he was pretty ruthless. Wily. He's been in power because. Why does he need to know the time? So he can find out when he's going to start killing babies and how far back. Then he sent them to Bethlehem saying, go and the them that he sent was the wise men. He said, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. Yeah. When they'd heard the king, they set out. Now, they went where they expected they'd find this newborn king. And when they leave, how'd they get there? They were following a star. And when they leave, what happens? A star shows up. Now, there are the commentaries that I read. There are at least three different you know, we like humans, we like to figure things out. So there's got to be a way that the astrologers or the astronomers can figure out what confluence of the stars, what celestial happenings had to have occurred, because we got to figure out how the star just was moving. So was it a meteor, a comet that went through the sky? Halley's Comet evidently showed up sometime around 11 or 12 B.C., so wasn't Halley's Comet. Besides that, a comet just does what? Streaks across the sky. There was thought that it was the confluence of Jupiter and Saturn in the constellation Pisces. You know, two planets aligned in that. They'd look up there and, yeah. But did that move? No, because if they're together, they're not moving together. They come together at that one point in time, and the constellation's not moving. So it couldn't have been that. And some even thought it might have been a supernova, you know, a star that just blazed out. Well, you know, the astrologers and astronomers, well, you know, they can go down that road if they want. But that doesn't match the phenomenon that we read from the scriptures. They set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. That doesn't sound like a comet. Doesn't sound like a confluence of planets. And it sure sounds like a supernova. Who created the heavens and earth? God. If he wants something to happen, all he has to do is speak it and it will happen. So You know, the astrologers and astronomers can try to figure out what happened, but I'm telling you, this is what happened. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. I mean, they have been seeking for years for this baby, for this portentous event. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it says they opened, they entered the house. And there's talk that, well, then this means that there had to have been a passage of time, because we know that Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem and there was no room for them in the inn. So they went to a stable. And Jesus is there lying in a manger. Well, you know, you read some of the commentaries and you look at the culture of the day. And, you know, strangely and oddly enough, the first floor of most of the houses was where they would keep the animals that they valued most precious. So basically, the bottom floor of most of the houses in that day would have been a stable, or like a stable. And there would probably have been sheep and goats and even cattle in there. So not necessarily is this where they stayed in the stable. I mean, it's one of those things, we have this image that he's in this stable and, you know, they were only there temporarily, and then now we see they moved to a house. They could have been in the same place all along. But as to a passage of time, we know it had to have been something along that. But we do know that when they bring these gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, there's symbolism to the gold. Gold has a value. I mean, even today, gold has a value. You know, oil, up and down. Gold, up and down. But you know what? When it comes to the times of greatest turmoil, something that is tangible and you can put your hands on, gold still has value far greater than most other things. Diamonds, depends on how well you can keep them. But in this case, they've come bringing gold. Also, gold is like this perfect gift that you would give to a king, royalty. This frankincense, expensive perfume. I mean, you open that jar of frankincense and the aroma just permeates all the air around. Wonderful. Myrrh, on the other hand, is a more bitter. And some would say that this gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gold that is reigning as a kingdom, frankincense, this aroma, this wonderful aroma that was coming, but the myrrh there in preparation for his own funeral, because that's what they used to prepare the bodies. Now, why would you give that to a child? I think when we look at it, you're looking at gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They've given things that are of great value and great ability to trade. They have a value, but they're also things that are needed and they could get much for. Because what happens? And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left their own country by another road. That's the wise men who leave. But that settles the Magi, the wise men. What about Mary and Joseph and Jesus? Because Herod's coming. Herod's coming. There's a threat. And Herod deals with a threat very quickly. Viciously. Violently. And the angel of the Lord comes in a dream and tells Joseph and Mary to flee, to go into Egypt. And Wonder of wonders, think about that. You know, Moses, the prophet whom the Jews saw as the great deliverer, came out of Egypt. And what did Moses do? He went into Egypt and brought Israel out of Egypt. He saved them from slavery to the Egyptians. Out of Egypt came their Jesus comes out of Egypt to deliver them from slavery to sin. Not slavery to an earthly master, but slavery to sin. The parallels are so wonderful and marvelous. And when those magi came and visited, they paid homage not to, in their image, they came seeking a king. They didn't come seeking a god. That was not their image. But when you and I celebrate Epiphany, it is the world acknowledging, it's you and I acknowledging that this Christ who came into the world to save the world, Jesus comes into the world to save it, not to condemn it. That's what Christ is. And we start this new year and we celebrate a communion because Christ, the very child that these magi celebrated, they came and they offered their gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and they showed up at the first king-size bed. Ba-dum-bum. That manger had a king of heaven, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That was the first king-size bed. And imagine this. It wasn't as big as what you and I would think, and it certainly isn't as big as what you and I would think of as a king-size bed in this great ad that we would see by either Sealy Posturepedic or a Sleep Number. But this little baby. A king-size bed. For that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus was found by them so long ago. But we celebrate Jesus, his body given, his blood shed. The Magi came a long, long way for a king. Who do you seek? Who do you render homage to? Is he in a king-size bed? Or is he in a manger? Or is he on a cross? Or is he Lord of Lords, King of Kings? Not on that cross, because the cross couldn't hold him. Not in a tomb, because the tomb couldn't hold him. Not on this celestial orb called Earth, because it couldn't hold him. But that Lord and Savior, that King of Kings, is in heaven today. But you know what? He's coming back. He's coming back. Hallelujah. That's the King I worship. The King of my heart, I will render to him homage. Who do you honor? Who will you give homage to? Joshua, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. I hope and pray that is your answer as well. Amen.